We need a way to connect without a screen. Getting to know each other and meeting new people still needs to happen. We need some oxygen, some fresh air, and some uplift. Welcome to the Make It a Pair podcast. I'm your host, Marlena Compton. Is it even possible to have a distributed online conference without a computer screen? This was the question in my head when I realized that I had to completely reformat the way I design a conference. If you just said, "What the cluck?" you pulled the words right out of my brain. The only concept I had of an online conference during the year of the pandemic was video conferencing. As someone transitioning from software engineer and tech to graphic design, the way I've been making money since my job disappeared was by doing online workshops, and after a few months, I had to just stop because there's really no great day or time to have a video conference anymore, and I was the facilitator, and even I didn't have the attention span for my own workshop. We're so oversaturated with video conferences throughout our days, every day. Any kind of doctor appointment or therapy appointment, birthdays, catching up with friends, learning a new pandemic hobby, and the list goes on. This is before we even factor in any work at all. So while I had a job at the beginning of the pandemic, I did that grueling work video call ultra marathon while I was working for someone else. And y'all, it was such a drain. It was a drain. Is it just me, or does working from home feel like harder work sometimes? And it was so much easier for me to work longer hours when I didn't intend to. Not to mention the pressure capitalism always places on us to be working at all times to show our passion. Beware, especially if you have that one teammate who feels like they have something to prove, or who just loves their work so much, or seems to have endless amounts of work energy. Whether they intend to or not, they very much change the dynamics at work, and there's always somebody like that. Given all of this, why have a conference anyway? I mean, why bother? I really was asking myself this question back in March. But and also, in March, people in the U.S. were starting to make their vaccine plans and think about seeing family and friends again in real life. I noticed a few conferences optimistically planning to be in real life at the end of the year, but I wasn't so sure. After all, it takes months of planning and many, many hours of work to put on a conference, no matter how small or effortless it looks to the outside. The X factor here that I haven't mentioned at all is that my partner and I have been trying to move for over a year, and we're still working on moving out of San Francisco. So I didn't even know where I would be. This made it pretty clear I wasn't ready to plan anything in real life, which left me with Zoom. I just can't. I can't even go more than 2 hours on Zoom anymore, and I am not a person who is in these all day, every day. For those of you who do this, my heart goes out to you. So, okay, if we don't want a video conference, what do we want? How do we still enjoy connecting with other people? We still need friendships and fun in life and professional connections. Not to mention, we still very much need our professional network. Real talk. Connections I've made at conferences have gotten me most of my jobs and contacts. Just because things are changed doesn't make that go away. In fact, I bet there are plenty of people staying in a job they hate right now because the pandemic has made it harder to network, harder to put ourselves out there, and harder to let go of the bird in the hand, right? Like, if you have a job, that's insecurity in these uncertain times. But you know what? Just because times are hard doesn't take away the need for us to have joy in our lives. As Beth Pickens writes, fun is not an option and joy is not a luxury. You are deserving and worthy of having a non-soul-sucking job, and so am I. So how do we make that happen? Well, okay, here we are. We need a way to connect and have some fun and uplift in professional networking without a screen. Getting to know each other and meeting new people needs to happen. We need some oxygen, some fresh air, and we need some uplift. And that's when it hit me. Zines. So I've had plenty of people say to me, oh, that's something like something I did when I was a kid. You can't possibly be serious about adults making these. And then there's exchanging them. I can't think of anything more boring than downloading a bunch of one-page PDF files. But what if I, as the organizer, printed them out on some paper in fun colors? Put them in a cute little package and ship them off. And you just get this cute little thing in the mail with fun stuff about tech and fun stuff about meeting other people, and there's no screen involved. I can do this, I thought. I have always been a letter and postcard writer, and I just love sending things in the mail. What if I made it really easy for people to make a one-page zine and upload it to a website? Then people don't have to be online to make these. I can have a workshop, but I can also put the instructions online and give people some templates of what to write. It's like having a summer pen pal, said Brittany Braxton, who is a friend and super supporter, when I was explaining this to her to kind of gauge like how it would be for somebody else. Special shout out to Brittany, who makes everything more fun. I love working with you and having with you in our community, and I'm just so excited you're giving a talk for Wavelength. This is how the Wavelength Zine Exchange came into existence. I do have a workshop that's a video call, but really we're only on as in working together for about 30 minutes so I can show people what to do. And I'm also a big fan of telling people to just turn the camera off so you don't have that like overhead of feeling like someone's looking at you. The rest of the time, like folks have their cameras off and are working on their zines, but I'm also making the materials available online. And if you're still in the camp that thinks this is all for children, then I would like to suggest you look up any of the zines that Ben Passmore has made. I will link in the show notes. If you're dismissing zines as something for kids, then you're dismissing all of like publishing that's for underrepresented people who are not going to have the easiest inroad to have like an official book published. Zines are self-publishing. Zines are that voice that you get to have when everyone's against you, when it's like everything in the system is rigged against you, but you have information to share, you use a zine. Zines are used by underrepresented folks to talk about their struggles, to talk about overcoming their struggles, and to share their joy. They're used by people with medical conditions who need a way to gather. I've seen this before, like folks who aren't getting support from the medical community, but they still have to find a way to survive with whatever condition it is they have. Those folks get together through zines. So I hope that puts to bed this idea that zines are only for children and that there's no place in tech for zines, because if you think there's no place in tech for zines, well, just look up Bubble Sort Zines by Amy Wibowo. She has taught a lot of people even more about the tech they work with every day by making her zines. So this zine exchange, this takes care of how people can meet each other without a screen. And it is going to be fun. I'm already seeing people post their zines. People have fun making them. And sometimes it's just about the making. Like, who cares if the end result is not perfect? There will not be any perfect zines coming out of the Wavelength Zine Exchange. I just want to say that right now. We're going for fun. We're going for connection. This is not about perfection. This is about good enough to share and to feel like sharing, to feel like someone's going to read your zine and say, oh my gosh, I really needed to look at this. Someone needs to hear what you have to say. And the pandemic doesn't take that away. And I'm hoping that this is what Wavelength can bring back. So that's the zine exchange. But what about gathering? How does that even work? I keep thinking about this one pandemic gathering that's been super amazing at bringing a community together every single time. It's called Versus, and it brings people of color together around throwback artists getting together, going through their back catalogs to talk about like their music that they've made and listen to it, sing along, play along with a crowd watching and able to, you know, remember along with them. I watched a bunch of these during the pandemic, and it really helped me feel better. Like, I was part of something, even though I was the awkward white lady standing on the side and just staying out of the way and appreciating. So how do we harness that versus energy and lift people up over some talks? That's next time. Check out Wavelength at wavelengthconf.com. That's wavelengthconf.com. And we'll talk about how to gather next time. Bye for now. How do you know my?